open your Bible to Matthew 5. Continuing these Wednesday night studies of the parable with another, what is called a similitude, or a very short parable. Now, it's found here in Matthew chapter 5, immediately after the one we studied last Wednesday on the salt. It's found in verse 14. Now, I must confess that I was very reluctant. I've had this on my mind all week, but I was very reluctant to deal with this subject because I feel my own helplessness. I feel my own hypocrisy. I feel my own inexperience in this area. I feel personally that I'm void of this quality of light, being a light in this world. I feel really that I have need to be taught this rather than doing a teaching. But I have found in the past, like so many things, I found this to be so with preaching, that rather than avoid a subject for lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, or a feeling of insufficiency or ignorance, rather than avoid it, you need to just tackle it. Just dive in. And you may learn in the process. Oh, you make mistakes, you know. But you're not ever going to do anything till you just try it. Till you get in and get your feet wet. Remember preaching one time on praying, believing, and receiving. And I felt, goodness gracious, I felt so void of that. Believing the Lord for the things I pray for. But I dove right in. I got a blessing studying it. And some of you expressed the same thing. But we're learning this thing together. And our subject tonight here is found in verse 14. As I said, our Lord says here in verse 14, Ye are the light of the world. The light of the world. Is it any wonder that I hesitate to deal with this? Does anybody here feel capable of entering into this? Of taking this to yourself, as meaning you? Does anybody feel like that they're lights, that they're true witnesses of Christ in this world? Anybody? But we've got to deal with it at some point. Why not now? Because the Holy Spirit has recorded this four times. Four times it's recorded in the Scriptures. If it's recorded once, you need to deal with it. But it's recorded four times, indicating, revealing to us the importance of it. And like I said before, the things that convict us, the things we feel like we come so short of, things that convict us are the things we need to deal with. These are the things we need to be taught. These are the things we need to learn, not run from them, do we? We need to run from them. We need to dive right in. And I think all of us need to hang our heads when it comes to this thing of witnessing for Christ, don't we, Rick? Hang our heads in shame. We all need to be ashamed of ourselves for our cowardice. We are, aren't we? Cowards. Our cowardice, our lack of zeal for the glory and honor of Christ, our lack of compassion and concern for dying men and women all around us. And I don't think our problem, we say this, I just don't know how to witness. I don't think that's our problem. I'm talking to myself here. I've searched my heart when I come up with these questions and so forth, and come up with these excuses. I give them. I don't think our problem is knowing how to witness. I think it is, our problem is having the courage to do so. I think that's the whole problem. I think our problem is not having the courage to witness, not believing God, therefore ready to speak out. We're full of unbelief. I believe God will give us we read it there in Matthew 10. Take no thought. I believe God will give us the words to say if there be first a willingness of mind. Let me read this to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He's talking about giving here primarily, but it applies here. He says here, I give my advice. This is expedient, verse 10 for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, you were willing to do it. You said you were going to do it, so do it. Therefore, perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, you said you're willing, so there may be a performance also of that which you have. There first be a willingness of mind, that's accepted at first. But up in verse 8, he said, we need to prove this sincerity of our life. Well, someone may say, oh, don't tell me what to do again tonight. To be sure, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm determined to preach Christ to you every time I stand up here. And I'm going to. And that's going to be the primary emphasis of this message. But let me say this. What if Christ had appeared to the apostles and revealed himself to them in salvation, but didn't tell them to do anything? Didn't tell them to go anywhere. Didn't give them instructions. What if he'd done that? Just revealed himself to those 12 men in salvation, and that's it. Walked off. Hypothetically speaking, they'd have been the only ones saved. But no, he said he gave them the instructions. We read it there in Matthew 10. Go into all the world, and this is what we're reading here. You're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, and so forth. He did tell them what to do, what they were, and so forth. But, like I said, that's hypothetical because it can't be. That couldn't have been because salvation, primarily, and I say this over and over and over again until I get it, and until you get it, salvation is primarily discipleship. Salvation. God has predetermined before the foundation of the world to save a people. Why? What was his determination for these people, for you? What is God's purpose for you? What is he doing to you, with you? He's making you like Christ. He's making you like Christ. He's predetermined, predestined the people to be conformed to the image of Christ. You see, Christ is light. Christ is light. So I say this. If salvation comes to a man's heart, if Christ, who is light, dwells in a man, in a woman, like the little girl said, you've heard the illustration over and over again, I know. But she said to her daddy, Daddy, Christ is a pretty big man, wasn't he? He said, yes, he's an average-sized man, I guess. And she said, well, if he was in me, he'd stick out, wouldn't he? Well, that's what we're speaking of here. If he is in me. That's a big question. That's a big little word. If. And I want us to continually examine ourselves, see if we know the Savior, see if we know Christ. And then if we ever do get to know Him, these things will manifest themselves. The sun must shine. The sun must shine. Water must quench thirst, or else it's good for nothing. Salt must savor things, or else it's lost its savor and is henceforth good for nothing. A believer, a disciple, a follower of Christ, his ambassador in this world, must tell people about his Savior. Must. oven that says, do you need this? Do you? Y'all need this? I do. So I'm diving in. I'm hanging in here. I want to know Christ. I want to win Christ. I want to be found in Him. I want to know Him. I want to love Him with all my heart. We sung that song. That's what I want. How about this? In the heart. Reality. I want a real faith. I want an abiding relationship with Christ. I want to know a person, not doctrine. I want to be taken up with the sovereignty of God. I want to be taken up with the God who is sovereign. There's a big difference. I don't want to be taken up with particular redemption. I want to be taken up with a particular Redeemer. There's a big difference. I want to love Christ and be so zealous for His glory and His honor that I can't help but speak the things I've seen and heard. I want to be so grateful for what He's done for me that everybody I run across, I want to tell them about it. How about you? And we come so short, don't we? We ought to weep and just, oh. Well, look here at verse 14. He says, you, who's he talking to? Well, this is another reason, another word, I believe, that qualifies who he's speaking to. It says, many people picture this as Christ being up on a mountain preaching to thousands. I don't think this is the case. It says he went up into a mountain. When he sat down, his disciples came unto him. And he's talking to believers here. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to his apostles. He's talking to his disciples, his people. And this applies to us, we're his disciples, if you're his disciples. But he says, you, believers, you're the light of the world. And stay with me here. Let's get into this thing. Well, I have three basic questions. What is light? What is light? I'm just going to break this thing down. What is light? Where does light come from? And how are we considered light? What is light? Well, I don't know if this needs to be said, but there are three basic types of light. There's first natural, that is the sun, the moon, the stars. There's artificial light, candles, lamps, and so forth, that which reflects light. There's eternal or spiritual light. That is, and this is what Christ, I believe, is speaking of. Because Christ said in another place, my words are spirit. When I speak, there's got to be a spiritual connotation to what I say. There's a spiritual application to what I'm saying. So what he's speaking of here is spiritual light. So spiritual light is first this. It's illumination. It's illumination. When you have this spiritual light, this illumination, you perceive things. You perceive things. You perceive things to be spiritual. You have your mind illuminated by the Holy Spirit. It is to have the spiritual illumination is it reveals things that are hidden, things that were once dark and mysterious, such as the gospel. The gospel's been a mysterious. The gospel's been a hidden mystery from the foundation of the world, but spiritual illumination has come to God's people and revealed this glorious mystery of the gospel, illuminated their hearts and their minds. Spiritual light is understanding. It's understanding. It's not being left in the dark about things. It's not being left without knowledge about some things. This light, this spiritual light is life itself. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about illumination, we're talking about understanding, we're talking about life itself. Life itself. You know, just as the source of all life is the sun, and the source of true life is spiritual life, and comes from, well, this is my next point here. Where does the light come from? Where does this light come from? Look at 1 John chapter 1 with me. 1 John chapter 1. What is this light he's speaking of? Well, it's spiritual understanding. It's spiritual illumination. It's life itself. It's eternal life. It's to have Christ revealed to you, to your mind, to your heart, to your person. Being suffused with this being of life, Christ in you. This is spiritual life. This is what he's talking about. Well, look here. Where does this light come from? The light is spiritual understanding and illumination and life itself. Where does it come from? Where does all this come from? 1 John 1, verse 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, revealed. We've seen it. And we bear witness. We show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and which was manifested unto us. He's talking about Christ. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, bear witness of, that you also may have this fellowship with us, fellowship in life. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. For this is it, he says. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, of Christ. And this is what we declare unto you, that God is light. God is light. And in Him is no darkness. What is light? Light is illumination, spiritual understanding. It is life itself. Where does it come from? God. God is the source. God is light. God is the source of all spiritual life. He's the source of all spiritual illumination. No man knows anything of the Spirit unless the Spirit of God reveals these things to him. 1 Corinthians 2. No man understands the things of God unless God opens his mind, opens his eyes, opens his heart, reveals himself to him. God is the source of all spiritual illumination. To see God as he is. Nobody sees God as he is. Nobody understands the Father. Nobody understands God in his true character unless God reveals himself to him. That's plain. We know that. Nobody sees sin as it is unless God shows it to them. Unless God opens their eyes to show them what sin really is. That is, against God. Sin against Him. Not against man, but against God. Rebelling against Him. That sin is inward. It's inward. Nobody knows. They all think it's outward doings indeed, so, don't they? Until God opens your eyes, opens your mind. Nobody sees themselves as they are. That is, without God, without hope, without strength, condemned to die, helpless, dead in trespasses. Nobody will see themselves unless God turns the light on, will they? Unless God shows them themselves. And nobody will certainly see Christ as being their only hope, as being their righteousness, as being salvation itself, unless God, who is the source of all spiritual understanding, opens their eyes, opens their minds. You see, we can't figure this out of ourselves, you know. God is the source. God is the source of all spiritual understanding. We've got to know. There's some things we have to know in order to be saved. We've got to know that God is just, don't we? We've got to know that we are worthy to be damned, that we're worthy to be sent to hell. Now, the question should naturally follow if somebody knows that. Somebody asks that question. If God is just, well, how's He going to save me? How's God, this just God, going to justify me? We've got to know that. There's only one way we're going to understand that, when God reveals it to us, when God shows us how He can be just and justify the ungodly. And how's that? In Christ. In Christ. By Christ being made sin for Christ living a righteous life for us, giving us that righteousness. Therefore, God justifies us, and He punishes Christ being made sin for us, punishes Him in our stead, and God is just by punishing our sin. Only God can reveal that to a man. No man could possibly figure that out. But men don't want that to begin with until God gives them the mind and the heart to receive it. Men, God is the source of all understanding, how that Christ could be made sin. Works. Most everybody in this generation is in the dark about the Holy Spirit, aren't they? They like to talk about the Holy Spirit. They like to attribute many things to the Holy Spirit, don't they? This Spirit filled, that Spirit filled, the Spirit told me this. They're dark. They're in darkness. They have no understanding when it comes to this thing of the Holy Spirit if they speak on these terms. The Holy Spirit's primary job is to do what? Preach the gospel. That's where He works. That's where He moves. Preaching of the gospel. That's where the Holy Spirit works. He teaches things of Christ. The Holy Spirit convinces of sin, righteousness, judgment. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And nobody's going to know that until God opens their mind, opens their heart, opens their understanding. God is a source of light and of life. All blessings that come. The Scripture said, in Him was life, and the light was the life of the world. The life was the light of the world. Sons of God are made sons of God. How? They're born of God. They're born of God. God has to give birth. This is a fundamental truth. We know this. We understand this. But God has to give it to us. God has to show us that God Himself is the source of all spiritual life. That God, the sons of God are born of God. That He gives life, it says. He gives eternal life. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him. God must give spiritual birth to us, or else we remain in dead in trespasses and sins. We know that. That God must give us illumination, understanding. God must give us life, or we're dead. We're dead. Well, but God in mercy and grace, He reveals Himself to some people. He reveals Himself how? How does God, this light, God is, what is this light? It is spiritual understanding, spiritual illumination, it is life. Where does it come from? God Himself. What is the manifestation, the revelation of this light, this spiritual understanding? Where does God give this? Where does God reveal this? I hope I'm making this clear. Where does God show us? Where do we see? Where do we get all of our spiritual understanding? Where do we see God? In Christ. In Christ. God reveals Himself in Christ. Now think about this. God is the Son. God, in a sense, God is the Son, and Christ is the moon. Because no man can see God. No man has seen God at any time. You can't look anymore. You can't look upon God anymore than you can look on the sun without being blinded by His... God dwells in light inaccessible, the Scripture says. We can't look upon the Father. We can't. We can't look at the Son. The Son must declare Him. We see the reflection of the sun in the moon, don't we? We see the rays of light and so forth that spread around the earth. The Son must declare the Father. The Son must reflect the glory of the Father. And the Scripture says this, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. But He was in the world. Who? God. In Christ. God was manifest in the flesh. But natural man is in darkness. He didn't see. I'm talking about God. Walked this earth. Men didn't see Him. Didn't see Him. Didn't recognize Him. Didn't recognize Him. Now look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. Look at this. But God in mercy. See, man is, we know this. This is foundational truth. Man is spiritually blind and cannot see God. Can't see God. Can't see himself. He can't see Christ. He can't see where he's headed. Man can't see that he's doomed to die without the righteousness of Christ and without a substitute. He can't see that. And he goes about, natural man gropes in darkness just like those sodomites. You remember the story when the angel rescued Lot out of Sodom? Well, it says he struck those people with blindness. It said they still grope for these homosexuals and all were still groping for the door. Try to get at those people. Still groping around. I mean, they were blind. You'd think they'd thought, something happened here. Something's wrong with us. But no, they were blind. They were void of understanding. They're groping in the dark. And men are blind, and they're still groping in the dark in sin and paganism and self-righteous religion. But here in 2 Corinthians 4, he says here in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, or is dark, dark and the understanding of it is dark. It's hid to them that are lost, them that are blind. In whom? In these people. The god of this world, that's speaking of Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest, look at it, verse 4. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious good news or story of Christ, who is the image of God, he's blinded their minds, lest the light should shine unto them. Why are men in darkness? Why are they in darkness? Because they don't believe the gospel. They don't believe the gospel. That's why they're in darkness. We read there that the gospel is the light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And men are in darkness because they don't believe the gospel. Because the gospel gives life and understanding. Or light and understanding. It sheds light on everything, doesn't it, Terry? You understand the gospel. When you understand these things, you understand the mysteries of the universe. You understand why things take place like they do. You might not know all the reasons for every little thing that takes place, but there are some revealed things that belong unto them that God has revealed the gospel to. But Satan's wise design, we know this, is to keep men from hearing the gospel. He's willing. He's at work in religion. He'll let men, in fact, he's behind these angels of light that are preaching all sorts of things but the gospel. He's perfectly content. In fact, he's behind it. And men preaching against abortion, against pornography, and all these things, all these issues, all these sidelines. Just don't preach the light. Just don't turn the light on, which is the gospel. Preach anything but the gospel. Don't turn the light on, you see. All these people I've got in darkness, darken their understanding, silence their conscience. See, the gospel convicts the heart, pricks the conscience. Don't preach the gospel. So that's how he works, isn't it? But by God's mercy and grace, some people have seen the light. They use that expression these days, but it's biblical term. Look at this. Verse 5. We preach not ourselves. We here are preaching the gospel. You people are hearing the gospel. We preach not ourselves. We preach not issues. We preach not sidelines. We don't get off on tangents. What are we preaching here? Jesus Christ. We're preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. In all his character, the person of Christ, the work of Christ, and ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake, for his glory, for his honor, that you may know him, that you may win him, be found in him. That's our service. That's our ministry here. That's what it's all about. We preach not, it's on our bulletin, isn't it? We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, for God. That reminds me of the verse, but God, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. God, in the same way that when he created this whole universe, when he said, let there be light, and there was light, he shined in our hearts. Henry, one day, he just up and said, oh, Henry's in darkness. See, man. And you saw it, didn't you? For the first time ever. Who did it? You didn't do it. You weren't looking. You weren't seeking, were you? God did it. Salvation is of the Lord. Light, life, illumination, understanding of God. God commanded the light. God just up and of his own good pleasure one day said, I'm going to give Mary Parks, I'm going to give her understanding. I'm going to open her dark eyes. There she was in religion, thinking she was a real nice little girl, you know, good little religious, self-righteous girl. I'm going to open her eyes. You don't have to do that. But God, poor God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in the same way as shine in the hearts of some people, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see the very reason for the existence of all things, that it's for the revelation of God, of the glory of God. And we see the greatest revelation of God's glorious person in the face, in the person, in the work, in the gospel. Person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see God's glory in Christ, in the God-man. And this is the greatest display of God's glory. It's the greatest display of God's glory is not seen in the heavens declare His glory, yes. The firmament showeth His handiwork. But the glory, the essential glory of God is His redemptive glory in the terror. That's what He told Moses, wasn't it? Show me Your glory, okay? I'm going to show you My goodness. I'm going to show you My mercy. I'm going to show you My grace. And what is that? Where is all that found? In Christ. In Christ. I'm going to show you all this by coming down here and being one of you. Coming down. Don't have to, but I'm going to. God, this is the mystery. And it's without controversy, the greatest of all mysteries. God was manifest in the flesh. And believed. He turned the light on. Believe? You believe in women now. Come on. You believe something that was written thousands of years ago concerning a man you've never seen, you've never heard His voice. You believe? Oh, yeah. I sure do. I stake my life upon it. Oh, it's either the work of God or utter foolishness. It's what the world calls utter foolishness. But we have called it the power of God and the wisdom of God. Great mystery. We believe. It's a gift of God. It's the work of God. What is the light? What is light? It is spiritual illumination, understanding. It's life itself. Where does light come from? God. God is the source. And He reveals Himself in Christ. Christ came forth and proceeded from the Father, the Scripture said. Christ has shined in the hearts of many to give spiritual light and life. Well, you say, what's that got to do with us being light in the world? Well, I'm getting to it. You see, I've been dwelling on the gospel here. And this is the natural outpouring of that gospel. This is the way it's to be preached, I believe. You start with Christ. You start with God. You start with the gospel and bring these things into it, how they naturally come from the gospel. How are we the light in the world? Well, God is the sun, as a type here. God is the sun, Christ is the moon, and we are stars in essence. We are stars. The light, as I said a minute ago, the light and glory of Christ is His reflection of the Father. That's what He said. I came to reveal the Father. I came to bear witness to the Father. I came that men might see the Father, might see His glory, might see His person in me. That's the whole purpose of the moon, isn't it? To reflect the light of the sun, to give us light in darkness, right? Well, our light is a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. It's on down the line. On down the line. We have no light in ourselves. We have no light in ourselves. And this is what men really mean when they talk about letting your little light shine. You know, everybody sings that, I'm going to let my little light shine. This is what they're talking about. They think we've got light in ourselves. They're talking about themselves. Let yourself shine, you know. That's what they're talking about. That's exactly what they're talking about. Let your little light shine. They say, I'm proud to be a Christian. They're not proud of Christ. They're proud of what they are, aren't they? They do these things. Why? Not to glorify God in all they do, but to be seen of men. Right? For their own glory. They testify. They give their testimony. Why? So that people see what a wonderful change has come about in you. And how much you're serving Jesus now. Winning souls. Witnessing for Jesus. That's the only reason they testify, isn't it? Only reason. They sing and do all these things to display their talents, to get glory to themselves. See, there's a big difference in doing your alms to be seen of men and doing your alms out of a desire to glorify Christ and these alms happen to be seen by men. It's the difference is the motive. It's the heart. That's where it all starts. That's where the motive, or that's where the difference is. Let me give it to you in another way. There's a big difference in witnessing to win a convert. That is to put another notch in your belt. And witnessing to show a man Christ. Being concerned for the man's soul. You know, for his eternal welfare. Man, you got to know Christ. There's a big difference in it. It's a difference in true witnessing and a public display of yourself. Self-vain glory. It's a big difference. There's a big difference, and this is going to hit home here. There's a big difference in witnessing because you are supposed to, and in order to say that you have. How many of us are guilty of that? Witnessing, when you got in the back of your mind, well, if I witness this person, I'm going to be able to go tell so-and-so that I witnessed this person. You know what I'm talking about? We're all guilty of that. I'm going to be able to tell the folks, you know, that I witnessed so-and-so, and then they're going to think highly of me. You know what I'm saying? We're all guilty of that. Every one of us. It's a big difference in witnessing in that way and witnessing out of true concern for someone's eternal welfare. Well, I want to try to answer the question here. How are we the light of the world? Well, it's certainly not by saying we are. Not by saying. Light doesn't say anything, really. Light doesn't make any noise. Who are you, John the Baptist? Why, I'm the prophet Elias that was to come. Why, I'm the forerunner of Christ. I was given the Spirit above all men without measure when I was a boy. I was ordained from my mother's womb. Just call me Right Reverend Most Holy Father John. Call me that. I'm the father of the Baptist Church, by the way. I have a long lineage behind me. No. That's not what the Scripture says John said, was it? Mm-mm. He said he was not that light. Don't look at me, he said. Don't look at me, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And what did he say? When he finally did open his mouth, what did he say? He said, "Behold the Lamb." You look to him. Don't look to me. You know, he had a lot of disciples. A lesser man, or a man that didn't have God's Spirit in him, that had gone to his head, wouldn't it? He'd have been filled with ego, and he'd have been just like these other con men of this day who had people falling at their feet and so forth. He would have lapped it up, all this adulation. There were men following John like there are men following other men today. But him being filled with the Holy Spirit, that is, bearing witness of Christ, when Christ finally came, he said, "Now y'all quit following me and you go follow him." You think about a man saying that. You think about a man saying that. Don't follow me. Don't come to my church. That man down there is preaching the gospel. Go hear him. I'm not preaching the gospel here. My, my. Don't look to me, Christ's servants say. His lights. They say, don't look to me. Look to him. Look to the Son. You know, you ask one of these shooting stars. That's what they are. And they'll soon flicker out, won't they? They'll soon fade. You ask them, "Are you a Christian?" They'll get righteously indignant if you question. You better believe it, buddy. You better believe it. I'm a born again. They all say that, born again. I'm a born again, blood washed, tongue talking, spirit filled Christian. Don't you forget it. Gracious sakes. A true disciple of Christ, a true witness, a true light, one that bears a reflection of Christ, a true believer, a true witness who has the light of Christ in himself, never, 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 never speaks of himself. Never tries to vindicate himself, does it? Like David. That man's cursing you, David. Well, I deserve it. I deserve it. Paul, they said, "What's this vain babbler going to say? He's going to speak of Christ, isn't he? He's not going to say, 'I'm not a vain babbler here. I'll have you know I served in the school of Gamaliel.'" No, he's going to speak of Christ, isn't he? He's not going to try to vindicate himself. There's been all kinds of terrible rumors and so forth, lies that have been spread over the years upon every true prophet. Haven't there yet? Down through the years, lies, rumors spread concerning God's true prophets and saints and so forth. But they just don't need to vindicate themselves. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." You just talk about me. You know, after all, when it comes down to it, we are guilty of just about everything we've been accused of. Inside, anyway. Oh, a true disciple of Christ just bears witness of the light. He only speaks of Christ. You know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he's the ultimate witness of Christ, isn't it? He doesn't even speak of himself, the Scripture said. He doesn't even speak of himself. He could, couldn't he? The Holy Spirit could glorify him. He's his equal glory with the Father and the Son. Takes the equal part. The Spirit doesn't. The Spirit gives witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself is taken up with his Son, isn't it? He bears witness of the Son. "This is my Son. Hear him." And the Spirit doesn't bear witness of itself, and neither do those who are filled with the Spirit. They bear witness of Christ, not themselves. You know, shooting stars and fireworks make a lot of noise, don't they? They make a lot of noise. But they soon burn out. But a steady star is usually seen more than he's heard. Now, let me borrow these terms. I hate to do it. No, I don't either. This is biblical language. Our Lord himself here, go back to the text there in Matthew 5. Our Lord himself is saying this, irregardless, no matter if men abuse these things, no matter if they say, let others see Jesus in you, and abuse that. It's biblical language, people. I don't care if that, you know, I'm not going to throw away all knives because people, you know, murder somebody with it, or all ropes because people hang themselves with it. I'm not going to throw away the Word of God because people misuse it and abuse it. Our Lord himself is speaking here, and he says, you are the light of this world. You are. And let me read this in a second here. We're being observed. How are we lights? We're being observed. We are. And our attitude speaks of Christ as much as anything, doesn't it? I mean, it's the truth. Our attitude speaks of Christ as much as anything, maybe more. Because talk's cheap. It's easy to say some things. It's the cheap way out. It's easy to throw somebody a tape or, you know, just up and throw something on the side, you know, and then run off. That's easy. But our submission, our attitude, when I speak of our attitude, I'm talking about submission to God's providence, bowing to his sovereign will daily, our spirit of thanksgiving daily. When it rains, thank God for the rain. When it snows, oh, we need this, don't we? When the sun's shining, oh, boy, aren't you glad for the sun? All these things, just anything that comes about. Truck break down, well, you know, Lord's will. You see what I'm saying? See what he's saying? The way we react to things around us, it says a whole lot to people. It sure does. It sure does. The old saying, I will borrow this, actions speak louder than words, louder than our words, not louder than God's word. But I ask you this, do we grumble? Do we complain? Do we find fault? Do we act proud? Are we lazy on the job? Do we carry on in all the foolishness of people this world? We carry on? Is there any difference? You've heard that illustration that if it was a crime to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You've heard that, haven't you? If it was a crime to be a Christian, somebody said, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That convicts me. Well, grumbling, complaining, finding fault, proud spirit, and so forth, rebellion, being too much a part of this world and so forth, that doesn't reflect Christ, does it? That's not the spirit of Christ. That doesn't reflect him. Oh, no. Look at Matthew 5 again. Look at verse 14. It said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. Your testimony. Your understanding. So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I've heard preachers say this, we have no good works. Well, folks, not in ourselves, no. But the Lord Jesus Christ just said that, didn't he? He just said that. And let no man deceive you by fair words, good words, and fair speeches, and clever talk, and so forth, from the pulpit, no matter how highly you esteem him. The Lord Jesus Christ here said, let your light so shine before men, your testimony, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's the key. Not to be seen, not what we were talking about a while ago, not to uh, to exhibit yourself, your testimony, but testify of Him, that they might glorify Him. And this is really more of a reflexive thing, more of a spontaneous thing than a forced thing. Let me get into that here in a minute. Let me describe this thing of good works first. What must we do, they asked the Lord, what must we do to the works of God? What must we do? What did it say, Terry? Believe, then. That's where you start. That's the first truly work of God. All good, there's none good but God, Christ said. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. So it naturally follows that only God is the source of all goodness, all good works. If anything good has been done, God has done it, right? Through someone. But the greatest of these works is believe in Christ. So first of all, to work the work of God, good works, is to believe Christ. Believe Christ. And buddy, you're talking about a witness. You're talking about a witness to this world that's going about to establish its own righteousness. This self-righteous religious world. You're talking about a witness now. You dare to stand up and say, Christ is all. He's all in salvation. You got a fight on your hands, don't you? If you qualify it, if you define it. But to just trust Christ, there's nobody trusting Christ alone. Very few people. God's people are, though. God's people are. Well, let me say this. To really trust Christ, to believe Christ, we'll never talk about Christ. We'll never talk about a Christ you really don't believe in. You'll never talk about a Christ you really don't trust and depend on. You won't do it. No, you won't do it. We talked about this illustration today, didn't we, Barbara? This thing of a child. When a child really loves and esteems its parent very highly, and it's just in love with his parent, just thinks that his parent is the greatest person on earth. His daddy, you know, daddy can do everything. He tells everybody, doesn't he? He's quick to tell everybody about his daddy, his mama. Why? He trusts them. He believes in them. He thinks they're everything. So you see what I'm saying? You're not going to talk about Christ unless you really, truly have had Him revealed to you. Really. You can throw a tape out there. You can do this and that and the other. But you're not going to talk with any... You're not going to talk about somebody you don't love, somebody you don't trust, somebody you really don't know. Well, you know, I remember, by way of comfort to you, though, I remember when the Lord first started dealing with me, I remember being more zealous then than I am now. Any of you feel the same way? I remember when the Lord first revealed Himself to me, I remember just speaking out right away, you know. Just didn't hesitate. Like a little child, you know, doesn't hesitate. She wouldn't, there's no way that she would ever be ashamed of her daddy. Never. There's no way she'd flush and get cold, sweaty hands and dry mouth to talk about her daddy. Oh, no, she delights to. But the older she gets, the more independent she becomes, the more she thinks she knows, the more independent she becomes, and less dependent upon me she becomes, the less she's going to want to have to do with me. She's going to, someday, I'm going to drive her up to the high school, and she's going to say, Daddy, let me out on the corner so people don't have to see my bald-headed daddy. But this is sad, because that's us. We grow independent or something. We think we know something. You know, we get old. We get mature believers and all. We lose that sweetheart love, like Barnard used to talk about it. Call it sweetheart love for Christ. It's what he told the church at Ephesus. Anyway, He said, you've lost your first love. You're lukewarm. That's me. Is that you? We've got to come back to this basic. And that's the reason I spent more time on the gospel, on God, on Christ, source. You know, you're not going to force anybody into doing anything. Christ is going to have to be revealed to their hearts, and then they'll naturally speak up. You need to fall back in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. So faith, real heartfelt trust and belief in a real person, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the first work, good work. And it will naturally manifest itself outwardly. That's what James said. You show me your faith without your work, I'll show you my faith by my works. And it manifests itself in the attitude that we spoke of a while ago, in the life, and in the speech. Like the apostle said, we can't help but speak the things we've seen in others. Can't help it. Well, you notice that I haven't yet told you how to witness. How to? Well, if you'll write to me, I'll send you a book. No. I didn't tell you how to witness. Because this thing is the work of God. It's got to be a spontaneous result of salvation itself. Christ didn't tell Nicodemus how to be born again, did he? He didn't tell him that. He just said, you must be born again. You must be born again. And you don't have to demand of a true child of God to pray and to read and to witness and so forth. He will. You don't have to demand it. You have to demand it. That's law, isn't it? That's works, isn't it? But let me say this again, by way of comfort to you. We do need to be reminded. we do need to be reminded every now and then. Paul said in one place, I'll have you in constant remembrance of these things. We do need to be reminded every now and then because we are so unbelief. So full of unbelief. We're but dust. We're frail children. Aren't you glad he remembers your frame? Oh, ye of little faith. Little faith. And after all, isn't that what Christ is doing here? If he didn't need to remind, why is he saying it? You know, if they didn't need to know it, why is he saying it? But he's bringing it up, and it was recorded four times. You're the light now. Remember that. You've forgotten. You're salt. You've lost your savor. But you're salt. Remember that. You're light. Remember that. Well, let me give you a few tips, anyway, on this thing of witness. I don't know anything about it, but these are things I'm pretty sure of, based upon the Word of God. This thing of witnessing, if you're interested. Pray. First of all, pray. If God doesn't open a door, we sure ain't going to open it, are we? If God doesn't give you the spirit of witnessing, you ain't going to witness, are you? If God doesn't lay it upon your heart to speak to people, you're not going to speak. But you know, if God, I've found this to be true. I have found this by experience. If God leads you to pray for somebody, you generally end up having liberty speaking to them, don't you? Anybody ever experienced that? You generally have some liberty speaking to them if you felt led to pray for them. Pray. Secondly, do it. Do it. Quit talking about it and do it. Quit yourself like men. Don't be a coward. You know, these heretics. You talking about something that will fill us full of shame. Here we know the true and living God, true Christ. We have the gospel. We claim that, don't we? We claim to know the truth. And that all men are... We are of the truth, John said. The whole world lies in wickedness. Can you say that? You believe this gospel so much that you can say that this is the gospel, everything else is a lie. Can you say that? Okay. We have the gospel. We have the power of God unto salvation. We have the truth. We have that which God uses to save men's eternal souls. Yet here this dude down here with a false gospel preaching another Jesus. He's bold and zealous and going around the world compassing sea and land to establish one proselyte to his era. How can this be? And we lay back and be quiet. How can this be? It's sad, isn't it? Does that make sense? How can these things be? Well, here's a word of instruction. Do it. Things are, humanly speaking, are easier when you just dive in and do it. You just have to use that to know the meaning of it. Thirdly, use the word. Use the word. I don't know who I was talking to. Margaret and I were talking about this thing. Use the word. Don't sit there and try to, you know, reason and argue. Don't argue. That's another point. Don't argue. Use the word of God. A word in season. The word of God is what He has promised to bless. That is what God has promised to use, that it won't return void. Our little two-bit thoughts and illustrations and our little whatever, testimony and all, that God hadn't promised to use that. He's promised to use His Word, though. All the more reason to get in this, to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, being able to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's within. All the more reason to get in this Word, to have it on our heart and on our mouth, ready to speak a word in season. God's Word. God's Word. We need to use the Word. Just the Word, here and there. And you know, if men won't receive that, you know, give them the Word. If they won't receive that, well, take the dust off your clothes and go on. Man, that's God's Word. You know, take it or leave it. I wish you'd take it. I wish you'd believe it. This God, this is not my thoughts. It thus saith the Lord. That's how we're a witness. This is what God's, well, I don't know much about the Bible, but I think, well, man, your thoughts are wrong. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. If thou thoughtest, I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I'll repent. This is God. This is what God said. Use the word. Fourthly, whatever. Don't force yourself on anybody. I like that illustration. Kind of like the barber who was shaving that fella, you know. He was a believer, and he's shaving that fella, and he said, you prepared to meet God? That's not the way you do this thing of witness. You don't just run in and say, you saved? Hey, how many times have you seen people do that in a restaurant or something? Somebody come up to wait on them. Are you a Christian? That's just doing it to be seen, to be heard, is what that is. My, my. Don't force yourself on anybody. Don't do it. God opens doors. He opens doors. What He opens, no man can shut. But what He has shut, no man can open. Don't force yourself on anybody. And this is, lastly, this is probably the most important. It is. This is the sum and substance of it all. Speak mostly of Christ. Speak mostly of Christ. You're not trying to want to win it, make a Calvinist out of somebody. We're not trying to get people over our way of thinking. We're not trying to get people to believe in the sovereignty of God. You understand? You know what I'm saying? We need to point men to Christ. We need to talk about Christ. And we don't want to argue doctrine. There's a big difference in arguing doctrine and pointing men to Christ. We bring these doctrines out when we're talking of Christ. You must. You can't separate Christ from His doctrine. But let it always point to Christ. Always keep mentioning Christ. Man, you need Christ. Christ is your only hope. Christ is your righteousness. Christ is God. Christ is our hope. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. He's the vine. He's, keep going, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Keep going. He's everything. He's all. He's in all. You can't ever run out of anything to say about Christ, can you? To always mostly dwell on Christ when you're talking to people.